This is Mike Schmidt. Today's date is December 6th, 1972. Time is 7 p.m. I will be interviewing Donald Clark of Essexville, Michigan. The topic of the interview will be mining of Michigan's minerals, past and present. Coal mining began in the Saginaw area.
I guess it's hard to pin down an actual true date. The first coal was found in about 1861 when the lumbering mills were drilling for salt wells, and they ran across veins of coal. The veins of coal were in this particular area were, let's say, average of maybe 100 feet below the surface, so they weren't very deep. The veins were in the neighborhood of 2 feet to, at the most, 4.5 feet thick.
Right.
So it wasn't a real encouraging veins to mine.
And they only found those going after the salt brine, right?
Right.
Now, was that like table salt, or would that be the halogen salts, the bromides and the iodides that they were really interested in?
This is an actual table salt. In fact, the salt industry was kindred with the lumbering industry, and it was very big business. The like a lot of the lumber was used to make barrels. Barrel industry was big. The salt itself was a large evaporator. They used two different processes here. They had an actual heating of kettles containing salt brine that came out of the ground, and then they had another system in which they had large ponds in which they had pipes that they ran steam through.
Oh, yeah.
That openly evaporated the water.
So it was really only a sidelight at first, the coal industry.
Yes. It's real peculiar. The only people that had any records of where the coal was were the people that drilled salt wells and the people that drilled water wells. And in this particular area, there was a man called Coryell, who was a salt driller, or a well driller.
Uh-huh.
And Mr. Coryell, back about, I think it was around 1900, went down to, I believe it near Grand Rapids, and obtained the services of a man called Robert Gage. And Robert Gage was a Welch coal miner. And so he and Robert Gage got together, and they formed the Robert Gage Coal Company, which eventually grew into the largest of the coal mining companies in this particular area.
Oh, yeah.
They were the big mines at St. Charles, were all Robert Gage mines, and many of the mines near Auburn and near Salzburg were Robert Gage coal mines.
When they started out, though, actually was the salt more of a commercial saleable product than the coal was?
Yes. Of course, when you drill down, you don't get any coal, really. You know it's there from the core samples from the well. And it was in later years that they decided to put an actual shaft down.
In other words, a lot easier just to pump out the brine than to put a shaft down to get the coal.
Oh, yes, definitely. And, of course, the free lumber slashings that were used to furnish the heat to evaporate the water, to concentrate
oh, yeah,
the salt,
yeah,
was available. But as the lumbering industry itself diminished, and I think, 1883 was our peak area here, or peak time for lumber in this area, and from then on it declined. Then they began, the Robert Gage Coal Company began to, was formed in around 1900, and coal mining became a tremendously large industry. I think in Bay County, you pick a year like 1914, that there were over 2,000 miners mining coal in this area. There were mines that, a smaller mine, the Robert Gage Coal Company, continued in active until I think about 1939 or 1940 when the last mine shut down. Robert Gage owned the Unionville coal mine.
Oh, yeah.
I think that was one of the last operating mines.
Right there where you still see the shale pile when you're going by on US 23.
Right, or US M25.
Oh, yeah. Right. What depth were most of these veins of coal, and how thick were the veins themselves and the quality of the coal?
The coal was not a good quality coal. By that, it had a fairly good BTU value, but it contained sulfur.
Sulfur, yeah.
And when you... if you want to use coal that contains sulfur to heat your house, you get that nice odor of sulfur dioxide penetrates your house and drives you out. So you have to... the coal was mostly used industrially. I mentioned the Robert Gage Coal Company as being the largest one, but I guess I don't want you to think it's the only coal mine in this area, because the... there are Handy Brothers, the Wolverine series of mines, the Salzburg mine, the Monitor mine, the Central mine. Most of these mines had more than one shaft. The coal industry did have what we call the professional coal miner, but it also had, I guess, what you can call the amateur coal miner, because many of the farmers in this area would run their farms during the summertime, and in the wintertime, they would mine coal. A lot of the mines near, small mines near Saginaw, were operated this way. The most of these mines were known as wagon mines. And by a wagon mine, you mean that a mine didn't produce enough coal to pay for running a railroad track to it.
Oh, yeah.
So you hauled it away in wagons. And I mentioned before the well drillers. Well, an instance that a friend of mine had is his grandfather in Midland was a well driller. Well, if you take the expressway to Midland, and just before you hit the Midland city limits, on your left, and the pile is now gone, was a mine called the Midland Coal Mine. Well, this fellow's grandfather was a well driller, and drilling in this area, he found about 3.5-foot vein of coal. Now, the normal vein thickness would be 2.5 to 3 feet, so it was a little thicker than usual. So he interested some people in coal mining. So they put the mine down, and in exchange for his finding the vein, they offered him and his descendants free coal as long as the mine was operating.
Oh, yeah.
So this fellow, when he was a little boy, used to ride with his grandfather on a wagon. Whenever they'd get low on coal, they'd ride over to the coal mine, they'd get free coal from the mining company.
Oh, yeah. What year would you say was the peak activity of the mining in this area?
Oh, probably prior to World War I, in the neighborhood of 1914 to 1917 was the largest coal mining.
Were their methods of mining very sophisticated then as compared to present-day methods, say, in where are some of the bigger coal mines now in the world that, you know, actively producing?
Well, some of the bigger ones are in Pennsylvania, and but I guess the bigger ones now, they're doing more open-pit mining, where the coal is maybe 60 to 80 feet below ground, and they just dig all the top soil away, and then they take a scoop shovel in there and haul out the coal.
And that's what the big clutter is about, screwing up the environment. But that kind was never done in Michigan.
No, there was never any
strip mining. Because it was too deep?
It was too deep. It averaged about 100 feet below the surface. They did have problems, of course. I guess you can call them an environmental problem, because at that time, the vein only 4.5 foot thick. They did mine out a tremendous number of area. And I know Robert Gage Coal Company had a mine underneath a fellow's house, and the house did when the ground sank, and they naturally had to buy the house. And there were laws, of course, during those days that you could not mine underneath a road.
Oh, yeah.
But there are areas right in Bay City. There was a United City coal mine in Bay City, and this mined a considerable area. And I can recall about 20 years ago, a fellow built a ranch-style home over part of this area. And during one summer, the garage, which was attached to the house before the summer, or at the end of the summer, it was away from the house. The ground had sank enough to separate the two, which doesn't, you know, just require a few inches of settling to do that.
Right. You hear about the miners in other parts of the country, you know, concerned with coal dust and all that. Was that a health hazard at the time in Michigan?
Very definitely. The black lung, or the coal, the organic dust, and the silica dust from the drilling real bad and caused consumption. In fact, some of the coal miners now are still living that actively mine coal in this area. The health rules, of course, in the mines in those days were... the conditions were not anything that you and I would want to work under.
Yeah.
You went 100 feet down below ground. You had, you did have a couple of vents, you know, that would pump fresh air down there. They were, in this part of Michigan, the ground temperature raises, I think it's 1 degree Fahrenheit per 72 feet as you go down.
Yeah.
Well, if you're only 100 feet down, the temperature is still pretty cold.
Right.
This is quite different than the copper mines. Copper mines in the Upper Peninsula went down for sometimes 2 or 3 miles. Well, then you'd be mining in 70 to 80 degree temperature.
Yeah.
So it may be hard work, but at least it was ideal temperature conditions. But in the coal mines, when you're 100 feet below ground, your temperature there is pretty much monitored by the outside temperature.
Right.
And in the wintertime, it was cold and it was damp. It wasn't ever freezing, but it was a continual surface water ran down, and you walked in water all day long, and mud.
Right.
And you
earned your money.
You earned your money. You got paid by the not the amount of coal that you took out, but it was even trickier than that, because they would you paid for your own gunpowder, for example, for should say blasting powder,
right,
for blasting the coal out, and you loaded it in a car which was numbered or something and credited to you, and that car was taken above ground, and then the coal was screened, and you got paid for I think it was something like a 1-inch mesh screen, and you got paid for all the coal that remained on that screen, anything that was smaller. So if you happened to put too big a charge of powder in your coal, when it got up on the shakers, fell apart and became too small.
You were losing money then, huh?
You lost money, but the coal company sold that coal as fine coal, but you didn't get paid for it.
What was their angle behind that, other than the fact that they could get some free coal? That was the lone thing? Or what, in other words, would you be wasting some of the coal if you used too much powder, you know, and messing up the vein?
Powder is awful messy to handle.
Uh-huh.
And,
by the way, that was the mode of getting the coal from the ground once you were down in the mine, is putting a charge in and blowing some of it up?
Well, the getting the coal out, it was quite a thing. In the very earliest days, let's say that you and I are real good friends. We may team up, and we may get one or two other fellows to team up with us. Now, we have to have a crew that every one of us perfectly trusts the other fellows in the crew. Now, we can do two things. We can say, if we're as a crew, we're going to elect you our leader. All right, now we go down in the mine and we look the area over, and then you're one of our crew. So you got to go up and talk to the mining captain, and you got to bid on how much money we'll get to take that coal out of there. Now you're gambling, because you're gambling that we're going to put the right charges, the coal's going to come out nice, and
yeah,
that the other fellas in your crew are going to work hard. Because if you say that you're going to take out this certain area of coal, and that you want $150 to do this, you're gambling that the four of us can do it in a matter of 4 or 5 days. If it takes us a month, we aren't going to earn very
money,
much per day.
Yeah.
So you have to have the right crew. Now,
and then if you got the bid, that area of the mine would be yours to work, and you wouldn't have to worry about anybody coming in.
Mm-hmm. And they wouldn't hire anybody else. Now also, you and I are going to put the charges in there.
Yeah.
So you got to have an awful lot of faith in me, and I got to have faith in you if we're going to dynamite underneath.
Yeah.
Because if coal is real peculiar in this area. It has certain definite levels, and above the coal is shale.
Yeah.
A shale is heavy and hard. It breaks in bedding planes, and it's sharp. Okay, now when we blast in there, we got to go underneath that shale and pull out that coal. Well,
right.
I'm trusting that you put the right amount of powder in there, because otherwise you're going to crack that shale. And when I walk in there, all of a sudden there's liable to be, you know how Blackboard
right,
is, slay
right.
their shale, fall on you, just crush you to
okay,
death.
Yeah. Well, wouldn't they, you know, get somebody to shore up in there to go in and, you know, put the timbers up? But that was still a pretty tricky job.
Well, we got two other men in our crew. Now, we can pay them out of our money for putting timbers up. Or we can say, take a chance and go in there and pull that out of there with a minimum amount of timbers.
Save money, but it'd still be more dangerous, huh?
It's a risk that we take to make more money.
Were there a lot of miners killed?
Oh, yes, they sure were. And most of them that were killed had no compensation at all. If you were killed, let's say that you were killed as a result of falling rock. That was the most common thing,
uh-huh.
falling rock. Well, the laws at that time determined that if I walked underneath a rock in a coal mine and the rock fell down and hit me, it was my fault for walking underneath the rock. It wasn't the fault of the company that owned the mine.
Oh, yeah.
So therefore, I was not eligible for any compensation.
In other words, you weren't liable. Huh? You were liable, and the company was not liable.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Was there any union that the workers had together, or were they strictly at the mercy of the owners?
No, they eventually did form a union, and the union well about the time in the 1913 to 17 when unions became real popular,
mm-hmm.
and a lot of people did join. The I think the United Mine Workers came in and established certain rules. They asked for things like change houses. Well, Bay County was one of the particular areas in which the very first, in the coal mining industry, the first change houses were put in.
You mean really a place to change for your clothes into your working clothes,
right.
wash up, clean
Otherwise,
up,
you when you got done working at night, you went home and all your coal dust and mud, and you washed it home. Well, Bay County did get some change houses put in. Now, in contrast to the copper mining areas, the copper mining areas had change houses from almost the very first mine.
Was that because you got dirtier copper mining, or was it just a little
no,
more of a together
it,
operation?
I think the people that controlled the copper mines were, how should I say it?